Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, and I'm sorry about the coffee break. I want to explain or describe a new experiment that we're setting up at Rothamsted, and it's known as the Rothamsted Reversion Experiment. As you know, Rothamsted is famous for its long-term experiments. Broadbalk, for example, is 160 years plus old. Well, I'm afraid this experiment is but a baby, and it only started last year. It stems from the Highfield experiment, which began in about 1959. It has various treatments. This one is bare fallow. Then there's pasture, which is more than 200 years, and arable rotation. And the fallow is not part of the rotations, nor is the permanent grassland. But they are very marked, very distinct treatments. And you can see again, fallow. We plough 2 to 3 times a year to kill weeds, arable and grassland. So this fallow has had no real inputs for 60 years. And I know there's a little, not confusion, but there's a loose terminology about fallow, so I thought I'd spell it out. So there's no crop grown since 1949, ploughed 3 times a year. So basically, the carbon inputs are as low as we can get them. These are the basic soil properties of the Highfield experiment as it is now. pH in the fallow plot a little bit lower than in the other two treatments. Carbon quite a lot lower than in the arable and grassland. Total nitrogen similar. Nothing very surprising. The grassland is at steady state, as you can see, remaining unchanged since 1945. When ploughed to arable, the decline is probably still continuing. We may be at steady state. The fallow is very low carbon concentration. Well, not that low. And soil organic matter fractions, we have free soil organic matter, free carbon in the grassland, intra-aggregate, and soil microbial biomass. And you can see the different concentrations. Oops, I'm sorry, I'm doing something wrong here. You can see the different concentrations of the fractions in the different treatments, with, of course, the fallow being the lowest of them all. And just another way of explaining it, these are proportional. The fallow is, this is total organic carbon, and again, arable total organic carbon, and here roots, free carbon, and inter-aggregate. The fractions that you can see here, free fractions, you can see the grassland has much more interaggregate and free organic matter, the arable less, the fallow the least. Nothing very surprising. The most interesting thing to me, of course, is the microbial biomass. This is the given by this little circle, much more in the grassland. It's present in the arable. You can hardly see it in the fallow. So the microbial population is much less in the fallow soil. What we wanted to find out was, if we reversed these treatments, if we went from fallow to grassland, or fallow to arable to grassland, and then arable to fallow grassland, over the next 100 years or so, what would happen? One of the most remarkable things is that although there is a difference in the organic carbon between the fallow and the arable, it's not that great, but you can see vast differences in soil structure. You can see here the permanent fallow, there's almost no aggregation. The permanent arable, good structure. And the grassland, of course, even better. But this is not a big difference in soil organic carbon, but it masks a very big difference in soil quality. These are Calembula, and I apologize, I'm no expert in these little creatures. Much less in the fallow, more in the arable, more in the grass. Mites, two different types of mites. Again, I'm not really familiar with mites. Fallow, very low, arable, more grassland. And the Shannon Diversity Index, indicating greater diversity in the grassland soil. The nematode community, hello. Sorry. The nematode community, the fallow soil, much larger in the terms of bacteria-eating nematodes, arable, grassland. But the main thing to note, I think, is that these communities of nematodes are quite different in the three soils, and I've no idea why. Again, I'm not a nematologist. Biomass carbon, which, again, much smaller in the fallow. Again, very low carbon inputs, less in the arable, much more in the grassland. Phospholipid fatty acids mirroring biomass carbon, as you'd expect, again indicating a very low microbial population in the fallow soil. And the question is, are long-term changes in soil organic matter reflected in the soil communities? Well, I think you'd have to agree the answer is yes, but there is a big but. This is the Shannon diversity indices with the different parameters that we're measuring. Most of them, the diversity is relatively similar in the three different treatments, even though they are vastly different. For reasons that we don't understand, the diversity in the of the mites is very different between fallow, arable, and grassland. And DGGE, again, not really very big differences in diversity. These three treatments are very different. No fallow, no substrate for 60 years, arable grassland, but in terms of PLFAs, biolog, DNA, GGG, RNA, well, maybe some differences, but nothing startling, despite the very different treatments these soils have undergone. This is work from Yuping Wu, my student, where we treated the fallow, grassland, and arable with two substrates, ryegrass and yeast extract, a very label substrate. So this is the data, fallow, arable, grassland, with and without substrates. Although there are big differences in biomass carbon and ATP, the concentrations of ATP in the soil microbial biomass in the fallow, grassland, and arable soil with and without substrates are remarkably similar. So the fallow soil is not behaving very strangely, even though it's had no substrate of any significance for 60 years. The questions then, how long can depleted carbon inputs maintain diverse microbial communities? This is a very unusual soil. If fallow soil is returned to grass or arable, how rapidly can the microorganisms, the mesofauna, increase? How rapidly can soil regain aggregate structure? Will community structure return? These are unknown questions. Unknown. Again, Rothamsted, this is Broadbalk, 160-odd years old, a very famous experiment. And this is the new classical experiment which we're just starting, where we're taking the fallow soil, permanent fallow, and then converting small plots to grassland and arable. Grassland, we're keeping some permanent, converting others to arable and fallow, and arable, some permanent arable, and other parts of the experiment converted to grassland and fallow. And these plots will be monitored every year for the indefinite future. And this is, we hope, will become an international resource. Anybody in the world can write to Rothamsted and ask for samples of soil from the classical experiments. If they have a good reason, and there's no charges involved, we're very pleased to supply soils to anybody. And we hope very much that this experiment will become known in the scientific community as it develops. And here you can see the different treatments superimposed on Highfield. The yellow is cereal, the green grass, the brown bare fallow. So on the grassland plot here, for example, you can see a new fallow plot, sorry, a new cereal plot, a fallow plot, and grassland. So it's fully replicated throughout the experiment. So the new treatments are now ongoing. The sampling is intense. We have huge input from the entire soil science department at Rothamsted, expertise such as molecular biology, microbiology, soil physics, soil chemistry. So these soils are undergoing intense examination for the indefinite future. And there's very little new data to show you yet. It's only been going for a couple of years. These are calendula. This is fallow. This is permanent fallow. Fallow gone to arable. Fallow to grass. Arable to fallow. Arable. Some differences, as you might expect, in the grassland soils. Grassland to arable, a big decrease in columbella compared to grassland, a permanent grassland. But we have only, we have a very scarce amount of data to show you at this stage. It would be marvellous to come back in 100 years and see what really has changed. I'm afraid that won't be for us. Mites again. Similar picture. The mites in the grassland soil have decreased massively going to arable and also to fallow. So these are big community shifts. So in conclusion, zero carbon inputs for 60 years have decreased both the abundance and diversity of the mesofauna compared to the original grassland. Decreasing carbon inputs by arable rotation results in intermediate reductions compared to the fallow. Limiting sea inputs lead to reductions in microbial abundance, but not apparently in diversity or in metabolic function, which surprised me. The biomass in the fallow soil seems perfectly able to mineralize ryegrass just as effectively as the biomass in the grassland soil. And we're asking, is the diversity of bacteria that mineralize humified sea better detected when these more abundant phyla that use carbohydrates have declined? These are our experimenteers of various shapes and sizes. Note the pink Wellingtons. And finally, I would like to thank my colleagues who've been very much involved in setting up this experiment, and also BBSRC for funding this work. Thank you very much.
Questions?
Sure.
Might the diversity be linked to the diversity of carbon inputs? So that if you still have relatively simple systems, then maybe the diversity is low in all the systems, but for different reasons.
Oh, I see what you mean. I think I understand. I don't know. Yes. We need a bit more data, I think. You know, it's very early stages. But yes, I see what you mean. Yeah, that's a good point. So.
Your fallow treatment would seem like an ideal place to hunt for truly oligotrophic bacteria.
Yes, wouldn't it?
Are you all doing anything like, say, pyrosequencing, comparing the fallow to one of the others?
It's being done, but I've not heard the mention of oligotrophic.
Yeah. Can't tell from the species whether, in general, whether it's an oligotrophic or not, but you would appear by definition to have them there.
You'd think so. That's a good point. That's a very good point. Thanks. Okay.
Seems like you might also have disappearance of some functional groups like cellulose degradation.
Well, they don't seem to have disappeared. Again, I was amazed when we added ryegrass, which isn't that recalcitrant, I suppose, but it mineralized perfectly normally, and we got the same amount of synthesis of biomass as we did in a grassland soil. And yet, the amount of substrate going in is very low. This experiment has surprised us in all sorts of ways. But anybody is really interested, I say again, we'd be very pleased to cooperate. We would really want this to be open to the world, if you're interested. Okay,
thanks.